Praise the Lord. Before we listening of word of God, let us look unto God for his help from above. Let's close our eyes. Loving Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, wonder-working God, I too come to the throne of grace. And, O Lord, ask you my forgiveness also. Yes, Lord, even my life is not better than Jonah. Yes, Lord, I'm not good at all. I was going away from you. But, O Lord, you have found me, you have sought me, and you have, O Lord, clothed me with a robe of righteousness. What a wonderful God you are. I thank you, O Lord, Heavenly Father, for that. Your mercies are never ending. You have a streams of mercies that can shower upon us. We thank you, O Lord. As we are going to meditate upon your word, guide us and lead us. You are our help. You are our lead. You are our guide. May the words comes from you, from above, so that it will edify the church. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, let's go to the next slide and read the theme verse for today's sermon. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Let us read this particular verse all together, please. This verse is also projected. So let us read this particular verse all together. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Please read other languages also. Maybe Telugu. Uncle, please read. Brother, please read in Tamil. Okay. Maybe let's read in Urdu, please. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, so anyways, let's ponder upon this particular verse. It says that, therefore, it starts the word with therefore, we must. Whenever there is a word must, definitely we need to pay attention. Okay, the author is clearly instructing that we must give more earnest heed. Again, you know, he's using all these high-end words and more severe words to make all of us understand the situation. It says, give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So, my dears, there is a person called Robin Robertson. I'm not sure if you have heard his name. So at his young age, his father died. And then he started, having friendship with a street gang. His life was not at all good. And, one of his friend invites him to a Methodist, special meetings conducted by great evangelist George Whitfield. You might have heard his name, George Whitfield. He went there to mock the preacher, okay? But however, on that particular day, George Whitfield preached on the text, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath of to flee from the wrath to come?" And it was actually a great warning to that particular person. And then that message convinced Robinson that he was a sinner and he was a generation of vipers. And then now he became a Christian. After he became a Christian, he started preaching the word of God as well. Initially, he was a Methodist. And then later on, he moved on to as a Baptist. And then later on, he became a very close friend with Joseph Priestley. And then later on, he became a Unitarian. So he was changing from one denomination to another denomination. And at the end, he stopped going to church, and then he started wandering away from the Lord. Okay? So he was bad initially, and then he became a Christian, and he enjoyed the highest peak of his spiritual level, and then he wandered away. So that was the curve, or life curve, of Robinson. And one day he was going in a car, and then at that time, he met a lady, and then he was singing this particular song. So whatever we sung just now, right? "Come thou font of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above." So basically, she was singing the song, and she took her opinion how this song was. And then he responded that, "My dear lady, unfortunately, I only wrote that particular song." And also he explained that, "Ma'am, I would give 1,000 worlds if I had them to enjoy the feelings I had then." And then immediately she reminded him, saying that, "But the streams of mercy are still flowing." And then it got convicted again, and he came back to the fellowship again. My dears, you and me are like, this famous person. Even though we became Christians, sometimes we may wander, we may go away from the Lord. But God is a God who is rich in his mercy, and the streams of mercies are flowing from him, and that always saves us, that always puts back whenever we come and repent. Today, my dears, I would like to bring 5 warnings from the book of Hebrews. The first warning is the danger of drifting. So we have read this particular verse from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. It says,
Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we, what does it say? Drift away. So drifting is very dangerous. Drifting is very dangerous. The reason why I said dangerous is that we don't know that we are backsliding. Drifting, is used for the ships or for the boats. Okay? There was an incident that happened, and two young men were fishing, and then waters were calm, but slowly, because of the currents of the water underneath, they were slowly drifting, and they did not realize it. At the end, when they realized, they were almost to the edge of the dam. And then, even though they tried to come back, they couldn't able to come back. Instead, they fell into the water. And then later on, they found the bodies of those two young men. Drifting is very dangerous. If you look into big ships, right? So if ships needs to turn to a 90 degree or 180 degree to go back, so they turn the ship on, and then you will not realize that the ship is turning. But if you look after several hours, the ship would turn back. So that is called drifting. My dears, drifting is very dangerous. The spiritual drifting is very dangerous. Satan tries to lure us that, hey, this is a very small thing. You can do it. You will not lose salvation. You will not lose fellowship. My dear, this particular drifting is very dangerous. That's why Psalmist is saying is that, hey, whatever you have heard, based on that, you should not drift away. So, this particular context of Book of Hebrews talks about the superiority of Jesus Christ. Okay? So, the readers at the time, or the recipients at the time, they came to Christianity, or they accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and then slowly they were going to Judaism. Okay? Now, the author clearly tells the recipients that, hey, you're trying to go back to Judaism and you're thinking that Judaism is great, or the Moses is great, or, Aaron is great, angels are great. But look at, this particular scripture, and he explains very neatly by taking one by one subject and clearly explains that Jesus Christ is greater than all the above. So in the first chapter, and the second chapter, he explains that Jesus Christ is greater than angels. And if you look into the second verse of the second chapter onwards, and it says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedient received a just reward. And he's saying that, hey, if you consider the Old Testament, right, you have received through angels the word, and then it proved steadfast. In other words, it proved it is good or perfect. And now, every transgression or disobedient received just a reward. And again, he's adding that, hey, while the word of God is good in the Old Testament, if you miss to follow the word of God, and definitely you need to take the punishment. That is what here it says. And the third verse, he's continuing and saying that, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? And now, what he is comparing is that angels, the word of God, and then later on, he's comparing to the third verse, to the Jesus Christ himself. So he's saying that, hey, in the Old Testament, angels gave the word of God. And now, in the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself spoke to you. If Jesus Christ himself spoke to you, How much more perfect than the words spoken by angels? And even if you talk about punishment also, how much more severe if you don't follow, even if Jesus Christ spoke to you? So it is like this, you know, think about this. Okay, so you have a law, right? You are living in this country. So this country is rich in law. Whenever a new law is introduced, they advertise first so that it reaches to all the people, and then they hear it, and based on that, they would take the decision to follow it. Once the law was given or, law was approved by the congressmen, and then they advertise in televisions, or they may advertise even mobiles also, a form of text messages, or even the billboards also. While we're going on 270, sometimes we hear, we see, hey, a new law is there, and then you need to put a seat belt even in the second row also. I mean, I have seen such kind of laws. So all those laws were richly by using all the channels were distributed so that people would hear and people would follow. And now think about this. If president himself comes to your home and tells you that, hey, there is a law given, you need to follow this, you know, do you not give more importance to the president voice and president vote? Definitely you would, and I would. That is exactly what here Hebrews is, the author of Hebrews is saying. Hey, look at in the Old Testament. All the servants of God brought the word of God. Now in the New Testament, hey, look at this. Jesus Christ, who is called as word, came in this world and spoke to you and me. How much more you need to follow that particular word of God that is given by Jesus Christ. My dear, this is a warning that he is giving over here. He's a warning. And he is saying that, you know, in a threefold way, in the third verse, in the threefold way, he's proclaiming. The first one is, in the third verse, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord. So that means that, you know, the Lord himself spoken. And second one, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So again, it talks about apostles and gives authentic testimony of what was the truth. And then the third one, fold is that God also bearing, fourth verse we can see, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and the gift of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. My dear, again, here the third one also we can see that there is a divine confirmation about Jesus Christ's message. And now, consider who gave the message. Consider who approved. In the second one, it is approved by only men. And the third one, consider who approved. I mean, approved by, Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit of God. So as this particular message is so strong, you should not neglect, you should not drift away. In the Luke chapter 14, there was a parable. There was a parable. Parable of the Great Supper. I read it, listen carefully. Okay, this is very important for us. Based on this portion, let us examine ourselves, my dears. Are we in this particular situation? Now, when one of those who sat at the table with heard of these things, he said to him, blessed is he who shall eat the bread in the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus Christ is starting. Then he said to him, a certain man gave a great supper and invited many and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who are invited, come, for all things are now ready. But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first one said, I have brought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused. And the other said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused. And still another said, I have a married wife and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and maimed and the lame and the blind. And the servant said, Master, it is done. And then of 24th verse, I'm skipping the 23rd. For I say to you that none of those men who invited shall taste my supper. My dear brothers and sisters, it is a warning to you and me. It might be a salvation invitation, or it might be a service invitation as well. No doubt, when Jesus Christ spoke to us, when we were not saved, and if we accept, or when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are added into His fold. We accepted the invitation. Praise the Lord. But later on, when He invites, or when He calls to do His service, if you give all these excuses, my dears, that's not good. That is the one of the indication that we are drifting away. We have to be very careful. So when someone invites you to come to a special meeting or to do the work of the Lord, hey, I'm busy today. Sometimes we are busy, but we keep on giving that exercise. That means that we are drifting away. We need to double check about our spiritual level. Are we drifting away really? Are we keep on rejecting to come to the church? Are we keep on rejecting to do the work of the Lord? My dears, it is a warning. The first warning is given by the book of the Hebrews, or the author of the book of the Hebrews. And he's saying that, do not drift away. You have heard Jesus Christ's voice, and you need to obey it, and you need to follow it. That is the first one. And the second one, the danger of, what is that? The danger of doubting. So let us turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Please come back to Hebrews chapter 3. And then 7th verse onwards, I will read it, 7 to 11. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me and saw my words 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What a great warning that God the Father has given, that in the 11th verse, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. My dears, in this particular verse, if you look into 9th verse and 10th verse, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation. If you go back to the Old Testament, wilderness days, the whole generation has seen wonderful miracles of God. The Red Sea departed, and everybody must have witnessed because they were going through the dry land. Not only that, after reaching to the dry ground, as the Egyptians were attacking, God drowned them. That is another great miracle. Not only that, throughout the wilderness experience, God has provided food when they asked food. God has provided water when they asked water. God has given all the countries, you know, in their way, even though they are not eligible. But my dears, even though they have seen all those wonderful miracles in their life, and now again, God is saying that, where your fathers have tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years, even though they saw great miracles, again they started testing me. That is not good. That is not good. So God is giving us a warning that we should not doubt God. We should not test God. And we have seen in the Old Testament what happened to the people who tested God. They were unable to come to the promised land because they disobeyed God's commandments. My dears, so it is a warning to you and me. But I would like to pay attention to the word rest here. Okay? So in the 11th verse it says, so I swore in my wrath, they shall enter my rest. Basically, this particular rest is called, Israel rest in Canaan. So they have tired of wandering in the wilderness, and now they came to the rest by entering into the Canaan. So that is the meaning of it. And now there is another rest that talks about in the 4th chapter and 3rd verse. For we who have believed do enter the rest. And he said, fourth verse, towards the end. And God rested on the 7th day from all his works. And it is, it talks about Sabbatic rest, canonic rest and Sabbatic rest. And the other rest that he talks here, he is from the 9th verse. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. It talks about the future rest. Okay, three rests we have seen here. What are those three rests? The first one is canonic rest. The second one is Sabbatic rest. And the third one is the future rest. And now, so actually the Sabbatic rest is a picture of our rest in Christ through the salvation. Okay? So, salvation experience is the Sabbath rest that we can understand. And the canonic rest we can understand is that, you know, after we are saved, second rest is the submission to Christ. You know, whatever God has provided, all the promises, after we submit to Jesus Christ and the hope that God has given to us. Okay? There is a third rest called the future rest. The future rest is the permanent rest. So once we go to God, and then, you know, after that, there is no mourning, there is no cry, and whatever the struggles that we are going, so, you know, God is putting a rest to all of these things, and we are going to enjoy our life along with Jesus Christ. And now, look back to the warning. So he is saying that the danger of doubting. And in the Old Testament, when people doubted, they immediately were dead. But we are in the time of grace. Now, the author is explaining that, hey, look at the old rest and look at the new rest that God is providing to you. As the rest that Jesus Christ is providing is superior, you should not doubt at all. You should not doubt at all. Even if you consider Old Testament things, you know, so many people have doubted and died. And you should not be in the situation. You know, we may not physically die, in the times of grace. But however, my dears, so it is dangerous and we may see the anger of God. That's why the Hebrews author quickly, he's telling that in the 4th verse. So he stated a few words here with a letters. In the 4th verse, he said, therefore, since 4th chapter, 1st verse, Therefore, since a promise reminds of entering his rest, let us fear lest any one of you seem to have come short of it. Let us fear is the first warning in this particular doubt he is bringing. And second one on the 11th verse, please read it. 4:11. Here the author is saying, let us therefore be diligent. Let us fear and let us be diligent to enter into the rest. God has provided us a rest. Let us be diligent to enter into that rest. The third one, 14th verse, please read. Let us hold fast our confession. 16th verse. Okay. So how many times he used let us? Let us fear and let us therefore be diligent. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. The first few letters are warnings. And the last letters is actually a grace that God is providing to you and me. Sometimes we may doubt. But instead of doubting God, the author of Hebrews is saying that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and grace in the time of need. We might be in the need of situations of our lives. When there is a need and a situation becomes worse, then we doubt. But before doubting itself, let us go to the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and grace. My dears, if you understand the sequence, the first sequence is a drifting. Drifting is a slow change. Once we drift, We started doubting. So, drifting, while we are in the first stage itself, we have to be careful. Otherwise, we'll fall into the second stage. Let us look into the third stage. The danger of, what does it say? Dullness. You should not be dull. Okay? You should be allowed. So, danger of dullness. So, 5:11. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. So they stopped hearing the word of God. We became dull. So he is giving the warning. So he is giving the warning that when you became dull, you will be in the spiritual immaturity. In the following 12 to 14 verses, listen carefully. If we observe ourselves that, you know, we are dull listening of word of God, my dears, you know, he is giving that warning, that 12th verse onwards. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, I mean, by this time you should have been teachers, you should have become teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of oracles of God, but you are going away from the Lord. You should become teachers, but instead, someone needs to teach you the basics of the oracles of God. That is what here he is saying. You know, even basics also they forgot. Okay. And you have come to need a milk, not a solid food. I mean, he was saying that, hey, once upon a time, you were eating a solid food. Now, you need a milk. Solid food is not sufficient or you will not be able to digest. For everyone who partakers only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. My dear Sophie, if we are in this particular situation of dull of hearing the word of God, then we need to examine ourselves that are we in this particular situation? Word of God is very clear that if you are in that situation, we are not eating the solid food. Instead, we are eating the milk. My dears, whenever any person is grown, if you give a bottle of milk and drinks like this, it will not look good, right? It will not good. Definitely, it will not look good. Even my son, both of my sons, 7 and 8 years, if I say, hey, are you a baby? And then they will shout, no, I'm not a baby. They always says that. If they don't put the seatbelt, hey, are you a baby? No, no, I'm not a baby. I'm putting a seatbelt. No one doesn't like to hear the word baby. But if you are and I am in that particular situation, we are babes. That's what here it says. The sixth verse, it says, therefore, leaving all the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of the repentance from the dead works and the faith towards God, of the doctrines of the baptism and laying down on hands, of resurrection of dead and eternal judgment, and this we will do if God permits. And now here he is saying that, hey, you know, these are the basic principles, but you need to leave these basic principles, you need to become advanced, and you need to, go unto perfection. That is your direction. Your direction is always forward. You should not be backwards, is what here he's saying. One preacher said this, okay? Most Christians are betweeners. Betweeners, there is a word that coined by him. And someone asked, what do you mean by that, betweeners? And then he said, they are between Egypt and Canaan, out of the place of danger, but not yet into the place of rest and a rich inheritance, he replied. They are between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, saved by the blood, but not yet enjoyed a newness of resurrection of life. My dears, we need to examine ourselves that are we betweeners? Are we enjoying the joy of salvation or not? Are we enjoying the resurrection experience or not? So this is a warning for us. In the work of the Lord, nobody, none of the lazy people should be there. Even if you consider in the Bible, right? So almost all burning with the Spirit, who is working for the Lord. Whenever God calls them, they're ready to serve them. They might have weaknesses in the beginning or in the middle, but still, my dears, if we keep on depending upon the Lord, definitely we will not drift away. So again, see the sequence. The first one is drifting. And the second one is after drifting, the second stage is doubting. And after the second stage, the third stage is a dullness. Let us go to the fourth stage. Danger of despising, trunikarinchatam, vaddanatam, says no to the word of God, says no to the work of the Lord. Despising, the fourth one. And 10:26, please turn our Bibles to 10:26. 10:26, I read it. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Observe the word, sin willfully. Willful sin. So they were drifted, they started doubting, they became dull. Now they started acting on the sinful activities. And now, there is no, even though the warning is coming, they went beyond the threshold. And they doesn't want to follow the word of God, or they doesn't want to participate in the fellowship. My dears, despising, trunikarinchatam, saying no to the word of God. No reading of the Bible. No attending of the church. No fellowship. Nothing. This particular situation is very dangerous, my dears. In the Old Testament, if any person would have despised the word of God. And if two or three persons witnesses that, and they were doomed to death in the Old Testament. So even in the case of, David, he sinned willfully. He sinned willfully. And then with his high hand, he killed Bathsheba's husband. And my dears, but immediately, he was not consumed, but, instead from his side, he went to the Lord and confessed that, Lord, I have done a great mistake. I shouldn't have done this. I committed willfully where I shouldn't have done that. Oh Lord, please save me. You can look into Psalm 51 to explain that particular thing. Psalm 51. But if you consider that particular story, even though David was saved, he had to go through severe situations in his life. If you and I deliberately go after sin, it is definitely not good. That is a warning that he is giving here. And then understand the sequence again. So the first stage is drifting. The second stage is doubting. The third stage is dullness. The fourth stage is despising, saying no. And then let us see the fifth stage. What does it say? The danger of defying, defilement, in other words. So let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Please read it. Defiled. They became defiled. So this is the last test. This is the last test. There's no turning back for them. And he gave a couple of examples here while explaining this defilement. And now, if we look back in the Old Testament, he's giving the example of Esau. And if I read from verse 16 on the same chapter, it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for the repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. See, there is no turning back for him. Because he sold his birthright for food. Food is after all thing, right? If we eat the food, it digests, it goes away. For the food, he sold his birthright. Otherwise, he should have been in Jacob's position. Should have gotten the blessings from his father. He lost all the blessings because he sold for a small thing, for a cheap thing. Hungry. He became hungry. So, in one of our devotions, I used this particular example. A person found a bowl in his apartment. And then they were using, they thought that, it is an ordinary bowl. And then after that they got fed up with that bowl, and then they put in the garage sale, and then they sold for $3. And then the person who bought that particular bowl, it was so interesting because it looks very old and sturdy. And then he showed it to another person, in a talks. And then the other person realized that this is not an ordinary bowl. This is a great bowl. And then when he took to the auction center, and then finally that particular bowl was sold for $3 million. Can you imagine that? So that particular bowl belongs to the old Chinese dynasty, 1,000 years back, I suppose. So my dears, some of the times we do the same thing. For cheaper things, we trade the costly things.
we trade the costly things. Esau also did the same way. If you look back, okay? So he, you know, thought of coming back, but the opportunity is gone. My dears, so, I mean, this is one of the lessons for us, for you and me, that, you know, are we rejecting the word of God or work of God for small, small things? Or maybe we are hungry, we did not come to church. Or maybe we are we have a small work, we did not do the work of the Lord. So, I mean, sometimes I agree, even for me also, you know, I have important work sometimes. But, my dears, it is an encouragement as well as a warning to you and me. It's a great warning. Now, so Esau example was one of them. And then if you look ahead, so in the 18 to 24, so he is giving another example. So he's comparing the Mount Sinai with the Mount Zion. And then in Mount Sinai, what happened, you know, that right? So people should not go there because God was there when he was speaking to Moses, okay? So it should not be defiled, not even animal or not even any person who should go to that particular Mount Sinai, otherwise they'll be dead, okay? So that particular Mount Sinai was there, that explained in the Old Testament. On contrast to it, so God is promising the Mount Zion, wherein which the blessings of grace of Jesus Christ are resided in that. So all the things, even though you were defiled, you can go to Jesus Christ, so that we can be saved. Okay? So, all the five things that he was giving, right? So, all those things, if you look into the sequence, the drifting, you know, in the first stage itself, we need to observe our understanding if we are drifting or not. So, for that, we need to seek the help of God in prayer. So, am I drifting, you know? Am I drifting? Am I rejecting to come to church or to the fellowship? So God needs to give us a wisdom and knowledge and understanding to understand in the first stage itself. If we go to the second stage, then we start doubting. Doubting about the word of God, doubting about Jesus Christ, the people did, you know, the recipients of Hebrews. And not only that, Colossians also, we were meditating, right, in the Bible study. So the recipients of Colossians also, one sect, you know, they were not accepting the superiority of Jesus Christ. And the book was written for them to, you know, make Jesus Christ high. So it talks about that he is a creator and he is a maintainer of the creation. And not only that, he has a preeminence in everything that is given by God, God the Father. So all those things it explains, my dears. Then after doubting, the dullness comes. Are we dull in listening of the word? Are we dull in, my dears, you know, do the work of the Lord? I mean, the next step is despising, and the final step is defying. My dears, let us ponder upon this word of God. Let us close our eyes.